Hello and welcome to Marooned at Macabites Headquarters. Day, drum roll please, 280. How are we all doing? Only seems like yesterday it was 180. How has that 3 months plus just disappeared from under us? I have no idea. Anyway, it's Sunday, day of rest at Macabites Headquarters. Laughably. Let's see who's in the chat first. I might have known. Jonathan! It was opened early due to a scheduling issue, which was, it was too early to take Lola at 3:30, because she'd only come back about 4 or 5 hours earlier. But the match was on. Now, obviously, this raises Mike's blood pressure considerably, usually. But we decided he should watch the game. And during the half-time break, we should have an early meal for us. And then Lola could go out, which meant that the chat got opened early while Mike took Lola out. He's out with her now, coming back shortly. I'm taking care of you guys and everything else is done. So that's the plan. Anyway, hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Ooh, Seahawks are in a must-win game right now. Yeah, Mike knows that feeling, Kim. How are they doing? The team they're playing has a great defence, so it's a bit of a nail-biter. Ooh, United started so well. Mike was shocked. I was going to say surprised, but nay, shocked, as they went one up, which I don't think they've done all season. Obviously, you have far more points, goalie things than we do. So getting one is incredibly good. Then they got another one. Oh, Mike was made up. Totally made up. Hello, Mrs. Simon. How are you doing? How are you feeling now? I'm hoping there's no chance of long COVID of any description whatsoever. Get it over with and have a fabulous Christmas. CQ, Deb, CQ. How are you doing? Mrs. Simon's good. How is everybody else doing? Could do with another 2 months off on holiday. I could quite get used to this. God. Oh, and Jonathan, while I think on. Hold that thought. New toys. And you would like these toys. Who else have we got in here? Oh, today's been a good day for Jonathan. Great. Excellent progress with your book. 61% in. Is this the lockdown book or is this another book? Let us know. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Jonathan says, apparently United have done well against Leeds. I think this will go down well with Mummy Isaacs, won't it? Particularly living in Leeds. They did do incredibly well. It was a grand victory, Jonathan. And some of our friends, we've got one friend who's a Leeds fan, who's getting it bad in a WhatsApp group. They have indeed done very, very well. It's a lockdown book. Good. No spoilers. I was desperate to get my hands on that when it came out because we were literally just in the middle of lockdown. The first one. I know we've lost count now. But I think the lockdown we're in right now is very similar to that one. Because we've had some pictures here today. I need to share these with you. I only saw them on the iPhone. So let me see if I can find the picture in question. But what has happened is, apart from the fact that the cases are off the scales, this level 4, the tier 4 lockdown that came into effect. Now, it's not here. It's down south. That's like another country. You know, the north-south divide is like another country. But what was happening, there it is. It was at St Pancras. Right, let's get that thing there. Londoners who crowded onto trains to leave the capital on Saturday night were told that they were totally responsible, said the health secretary, Matt Hancock. London moved into a tier 4 lockdown restriction situation, meaning it is illegal to leave the capital from 1 minute past midnight today. So if you weren't out by midnight, overnight, you're staying. So they sent these pictures. These pictures appeared of what one of the stations in London looked like last night. I wouldn't mind, that isn't even one of the big ones. St Pancras is next door to King's Cross. And I would have thought King's Cross, Euston, Paddington and Victoria were way bigger than St Pancras. Now, you would have to leave from St Pancras depending on where you were actually going. But apparently, by 7 o'clock last night, there was no tickets anywhere. But social distancing much? It's absolutely insane. I love the person who tweeted the picture and said, last train out of Saigon, the queue at St Pancras as we wait to board the Leeds bound train. So Jonathan, if all these idiots that are down there are heading to Leeds, I'd tell Mummy and Daddy Isaacs to take very great care. Don't go out. What I don't understand with people like that is, do they not realise they're the ones carrying the virus? The virus isn't living in their locality, it's living inside them. So if they move, virus goes with them. So possibly, judging by the exodus, the safest place in the country right now is down there. Because all the idiots with it, they've gone. There are no words. There aren't. But can you imagine if there was a real crisis in the country? I mean, like the aliens had invaded. I would say, you know, somebody invading with a higher IQ, but that wouldn't be difficult, would it? Would not be difficult. Oh, there are no words. There really aren't. It's a bit too soon for you to watch your virus movie. Jonathan's in two minds about it. Let me have a look at that. I have not seen that. I did. You guys on here goaded me to watch... was it Contagion or Pandemic? There were two movies. So I thought, okay, how far on can I go? Oh, it was dire. I managed 15, 20 minutes and I don't know how I kept going that long. It was, without exception, appalling. Oh, Songbird. No, I've not heard about that one. I will have a watch of that later. I could probably watch one, but I feel a little bit like I'm doing that already because we literally have not left the house. I mean, Lola gets walked, that's it. Other than that, not left the house. I already feel like I'm in a cinema watching idiots on a screen. I mean, last night, poor Kaz, Lisa, not happy. And I get that, but can't help thinking... I think I'm right that if you self-isolate for 14 days, then you could make a bigger family bubble. Now, obviously, he's not giving you 14 days to sort that little thing out, has he? But no, it's kicking off. It's kicking off. And the figures today are absolutely appalling. We have over the last few days been like 15,000 new cases, 18,000 new cases today, 33,000 new cases. So it's going to get worse before it gets better, which we've been saying since March, and we're still saying it. So there you go. Kim's not going to watch that one either. Jonathan, at least that's come out of it. You agree with Matt Hancock on something, which is quite shocking in itself. I do think they're irresponsible, and I can't really understand where they're going and why. Because... if you can't travel in or out of a tier four, how are they getting home? Wherever they're going, how are they getting home and when? It'll be in like that book, Jonathan, where they've got the army on the streets trying to stop looters. That'll be the next thing. And Paul says, his son says, London hospitals are very busy. I'm not really surprised in a way. I think the only thing that's saving them down there is there's literally so many of them. There is virtually a hospital on every corner. I mean, there's the ones you will have heard of, like Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital, but you've also got St Mary's and Paddington and Charing Cross and the one opposite the House of Commons. There are hospitals on every corner. We don't quite have that many up here. And I have no desire to visit any of them anytime soon. Oh, Mrs. Simon drove past a testing centre. After always looking almost empty today, hang on, that just moved, they were queuing to get in, flooded with cars. I can't help thinking that that's not necessarily good news, is it? I mean, if they find out they've got it, what now? Are they going to make a change of their behaviour for Christmas? It just doesn't look like anybody is being in any way logical, apart from us guys, because we're sensible. They're wanting to get tested before they see family. Feel sorry for those who genuinely need to go. Exactly. There are no words for this stupidity. It's just going from bad to worse. You're only supposed to go if you've got symptoms, but after experiencing it, they don't check your temperature or anything. You just fill in an online form, tick a box saying some symptoms are present. I was wondering about that, you know, and obviously not having been in a position that I needed to do that. The other thing I thought about was, as we see a lot of our friends who are fair enough in a higher group than us, there was the 10 groups and we're in group 9, which is just basically anybody over 50. Our friends are older than that, and some of them have underlying conditions. So they're getting the vaccine. But having seen it, you're thinking, I cannot envisage the day a letter comes through the door and says, right, it's your turn. It feels like that's months and months and months away. We are literally the bottom of the pile. So we'll see. And not that I could have it anyway, but that's not the point. Mrs. Simon, you know a guy who booked his family in ahead of Granny arriving? I don't think it's for that, is it? 3 hours in a queue to drop a patient off. There were stories of ambulances. I think this was in Manchester. The ambulances had gone out and picked up patients, taken them back, and they're in the ambulance queue to drop them off, and they were there like 7 hours per ambulance, which at Christmas, to be honest, is not uncommon. That could happen any Christmas here, but only because, and I'll put this in as my opinion, but to be honest, it's true. People rock up there with like, oh, I've got an ingrowing toenail, or I've got a splinter, and they're going to A&E. So it's not surprising that the people who really need help are outside in ambulances hooked up to monitors, because there's nowhere else to put them. At least this year, people are steering well away from hospitals, which I don't feel is a bad thing. Let the people who are really ill and the first line responders, let them do their job, and let people who are really ill get dealt with. Although they did say there was that few people at A&E during the second lockdown, it was like, you do feel that you can come in if you're ill. And I'm thinking, well, that's the whole point. They're clearly not ill enough to go in, but without the pandemic, they might well have turned up. Oh, sound problem there. Right, it's back. Right. I've got the chat jumping all over the place, but I'm in. There we go. So I'm catching up here with Kim, with polyethylene glycol, a probable cause of allergic reaction. Oh, I don't know if I'm allergic to that. And it's a laxative as well as other things. Oh, joy. So you could have problems on all fronts, as it were. Oh, they've scored, have they? What is the score, Kim? Give us the score. You're going to wait for the J&J vaccine. It's only one shot. I don't know whether we'll ever get that. Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, what have I got that Jonathan will want? Something that was mentioned on Friday by Jonathan. And I took heed of what wise young Jonathan said. Oh, 13. That's fantastic. United did let the other team have a go. The other team got two as well. I'll give you a clue, Jonathan. This is the noise it makes. Did you get that? That's the noise the new toy makes. You didn't recommend which particular one, but I've got, how many's in the box? I've got 12 of them. So shall we try that again? The noise it makes. Is it a new pen? Exactly, Jonathan, 12 of them. 12 new pens in all the colours, in all the sizes. They are fabulous. I did the Amazons. Let's see, like the Googles, only on Amazon. And the pens I'd got were Bic, I think it's got a weird name on it. Valina? Valida, I think. Tracy, what does Valida mean? Is this Italian? It looks like V-A-L-L-I-D-A. Anyway, these are like whiteboard pens. But more like they've got like a rubber bit on them. Anyway, they were fine. Apart from the fact I'd got black, blue, green and red. And I didn't buy them for this job. I already had them in. The green and the red are absolutely useless. You couldn't even see them. So there was nothing wrong with the pens per se. If you'd have been writing on something, you're writing on white. If you were writing on better than that, then you may have seen them, but they were far too pale. So I get some Amazon and I do the Amazons, and I could get 36 black pens. And I thought, I don't really need 36 black pens. Right now, I'm trying to keep the office, take the stock down, not up. But I'm then looking at some of the reviews, and they were saying how good these pens were, because they're not really like a well-known brand. But then I realised people were talking about the colours and how good the colours were. There was a little video and there was some photographs. And some of these pens are pink. So there's three black, a brown, purple, pink, orange, yellow, green, two shades of blue and a red. And I'm thinking, well, you know, judging by my experience with the Bic ones, they're not going to be good. Then I saw the photographs and they were really vibrant. So I thought, worth a go. Anyway, they've arrived. I would say you can see the yellow one, but it is a lot, obviously a lot pastier than the others. But it's as good as you could get for yellow. But every one of the others is really vibrant. You need them. They look like a Sharpie. They are shaped like a Sharpie. And they are from a company called Volcanics. And I can highly, highly recommend them. My board has seen a lot of use and it's only been installed since Friday. So let me find the link for you. I doubt you'll find looking. There's, you see, there's all that comes up when you look for it. There's one that's more expensive, but all that comes up when you look for it is the black ones. But the coloured ones are so useful because I use the orange for Mac Bites and I use blue for after hours. So it all makes total sense. Will they all fit in the little drawer? I very much doubt it. Let's have a look. Will they all fit in? Oh, they might. Because three of them are black. So you would only actually need one of those at a time, wouldn't you? Let's take them all out of the little snazzy box that they came in. Right, let's try and shove them all in that drawer. Let's see how that goes. I'm shuffling, can you hear? No, I don't think they would all go in because there's that many of them. What I'd probably do is use the colours like I would use the... I've got a deep blue and an orange. I'd use that. I'd use a red and a black. It would probably make sense to have the green. And I do use a lot of purple, to be honest. So I reckon six of them would fit in. Let's try six. Yep, six fit in perfectly. And those are probably the six that I would use. I do, however, have a pen pot next to me. Like, it's a flat thing, not one where the pens stand up. It's a flat thing that I put in the drawer. But they're just so good. I've never had any that are that good. The ones that, why I had dry white pens in the first place was I had a book. I think we mentioned it. It's a note-taking thing. There is a name for it. I can't for the life of me remember what that is. But basically it's a book that you write on with dry white pens and then you take a photograph and then you clean the book. There is a name for it. I don't know what it is. But that was good initially, but if you leave the text on it for more than 2 seconds, it dries. And then when you try and get it off, there's just an unholy mess. So I stopped using it because you couldn't really get it clean. But because this is glass, it cleans off absolutely perfectly. Don't know why they don't put glass over whiteboards and then you're done. Because whiteboards just get so filthy. But the glass keeps it completely clean. So, yes, I only ordered them yesterday, fairly late yesterday. And they arrived fairly early this morning. He also knocked on the door, imbecile. I say that because there's a sign on the outside that says just put the parcel in and go away. Don't bother us, in other words, but he knocked on the door. Right. Does the yellow one show up? It does. It's obviously paler than the rest. But yeah, it does. So how about we do a live demo on Friday? Thursday. After hours, Thursday. I shall pencil it in on my board. All right. Yes, it does show up. You'd have to look a little bit harder to see it. But it does show up. In fact, the one that came with it, that Jonathan said that will last 2 minutes. The thing that gets me with it, Jonathan, is it's so tiny. It's like an Argus pen. I don't particularly like that. But it is still working. I think it's if you leave the lid off, isn't it? But the lids on these things, I mean, you can hear me clicking them on. These are more sturdy than Sharpies. That's it coming off and that's it going on. Which helps that they don't dry out. Because obviously you're leaving them there to work with. Anyway, highly, highly, highly recommended. I read that on the back of the box, Tracy, about being stored horizontally. And I'd never heard of that before. But yeah, it was a set that I got of various sized plastic trays that they call drawer organisers. So what's in mine are my dry wipe things. I also have some Stabilo Trio pens, which are like big, thick, crayony things, together with biros and other stuff. Oh, and a new toy, a remote control for my fairy lights. Yeah, I was thinking it must be 2020 if you need a remote control for your fairy lights. But anyway, that's in there. I do like the pens, the friction pens. But good grief, they don't last long. They're one of the things I think it runs out as you're actually using it. And then if you put it back in the drawer for a day, you get like another sort of 10 minutes use out of it. So I think there's something to having a tray where they're stored horizontally. But I'd never heard of that before. Because a lot of them have magnets on and you can pin them to a board, in which case you tend to pin them upright like little soldiers, which could explain why they're flat every 5 minutes. When I used to go out to face-to-face train, which was the mid to late 90s, half my briefcase was full of pens, because when you turned up, they'd have a board, but the pens were virtually, well, there was plenty of them there, but they're all dead. So honestly, I had 3 boxfuls of pens in my briefcase when I went out. You can't find the latest one you got. Were the ones you got good? Were they good, Jonathan? I love your tone of phrase there, Tracy. I'm working backwards. It says, been watching how brainless Southeasterners barrel into trains, etc. See how fast they can spread the news train. It's not in Northern Ireland yet. So, by Friday. Oh, her ladyship's back. And I assume she's brought Mike with her. Is that chicken? It's chicken! How's the princess?
Fine. Had a walk, done the news, been out to play.
Excellent. Excellent. Leave out the duplicates. Yeah, I can't see me using brown much, to be honest.
And now she wants her treats.
Nor pink. Well, when she... Oh, she's in asking for them.
When she growls, she can have them.
I don't know why, Jonathan. Why isn't there another drawer on the other side? Because there's space for it. In fact, if you bought 2 of them and took the drawer out of the second one, you'd get it in the other side of the first one. There should be 2 drawers. That would be most useful. Hello, Sarah. Looking at the pens, they're low odour. And I love the smell of marker pens. Actually, you're right. They really are low odour as well. Let's have a sniff of the one that it came with. Yeah, fairly potent, that. Fairly potent. But these really are low odour. But they're the best ones I've ever seen. And I use marker pens.
Sarah loves the smell of marker pens.
Yeah, they smell of nothing.
I love the smell of marker pens.
Well, you won't be sniffing these though.
It's a way to get high in the classroom when I did classroom training. It's also a COVID test.
These look like Sharpies though, don't they?
I've got my glasses on. Yeah, they do.
They really look like Sharpies. But, you know, I use these day in, day out. I had... is it Stabilo?
Stabilo, yeah.
Stabilo, Stadler. I had the best makes that I could buy and they all dried out. They were all useless. These are amazing. Never seen anything as good as these.
I had some that I stole from work.
Do you mean borrowed on permanent loan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Oh, Kim, one of the players just broke his ankle. That's not good. Oh, dear. Oh, they're a German company. Oh, you'd imagine they'd be really good then, wouldn't you? These aren't bad. You know, theirs aren't bad. The black and the blue are fine. But the green and the red, useless. Can't see them. You can see the yellow out of the second set way more than you can see the colours, the green and the red. What's you laughing at?
Sarah. Whilst waiting for people to respond, I stand there inhaling. Yeah, it makes the time go quicker, Sarah. I was always taught when I was a young trainer, a rookie, that when you ask a question, there's a 9-second rule. You wait 9 seconds to see if anyone responds. Now, that's a bit difficult on Zoom, isn't it? Because they think you're dead.
On YouTube, if I shut up for 9 seconds, I would definitely get a reply. I would get 27 issues of, are you still there?
Has the sound gone?
The sound's gone at my end. No one will be listening to the question.
So, yeah, a 9-second whiff is a great way to get high.
You're being very good, Lola. She's actually got her backside towards me.
Maybe I've tied her out.
She's disgusted. She's disgusted from sale, aren't you? What if I had the treats? Quietly. Let's see how good her nose is. Oh! You know that selective samoid deafness? She literally jumped up.
Yeah.
Right, what have we got here?
Treaty time. Treaty time.
You know what we haven't had in a couple of days, Daddy, and I think we need to partake of again.
What's that?
Tripe stick. We haven't had a tripe stick, have we?
Oh, there's some at the drawer. Yeah, countdown music.
What we need to do, Jonathan, is persuade them to grandfather us onto two drawers. There we go. There's one for Lola. Have you lost her tripe sticks?
Yeah, they're here. Oh, they're sausages.
They're sausages. Red are sausages, Mike. She looks like she's been tormented here. I'm sure there were. I put them in a plastic bag.
Oh, yeah. There they are. They look like Twiglets.
Let's do my COVID test. You don't have to pre-book this. All you need to do is have a plastic bag full of tripe sticks and then you open it.
How come that's open with one left? Talking of whiffy.
There isn't one in there. There's two. Oh, no. I do not have COVID. Oh, my. That's a little bit on the pungent side. Right, one for Daddy.
Hang on, she's not had this yet.
We've got that many treats for her here. You are a spoiled girl. And that won't stop you coming back for two dentist sticks, will it?
The countdown like music reminds me of that woman I used to live with when I was lodging in Leeds.
He means sharing a house with, he doesn't mean live with. Not in the biblical sense.
I was paying her rent.
That sounds even worse. Leave a look. Walk away.
And she was about 90.
Can I just say that never stopped Wayne Rooney?
I knew you were going to say that. No, she'd be cooking dinner with Countdown on.
He wouldn't do that these days. He's on too early.
In the days of Richard Whiteley.
Good grief. Oh, do you know he's just left that other one?
Nick Hewer. Richard Whiteley. He's been dead for years.
Yeah, I know. So's Nick Hewer in the mind, but he's still...
Oh, leaving. Nick Hewer. Yeah, yes. You told me.
I can't believe he's been there 10 years. Will you stop going over to Daddy to see if he's got something better?
I'm putting them away.
Offering you stuff. You're tormenting her. Look at her eyes. Your head's on
a ratchet.
That's
because I've got a rancho.
I've got the ranchos here.
There's one rancho here, Mr. Fallen Out.
It's like feeding time at the zoo.
It is a zoo.
There's two ranchos in this packet. Oh,
in that case, she doesn't need this one.
I'll give you this one and then your Daddy can give you the other one. You see, I'm kind. Oh, so Tracy said we had a weekend lockdown release, the one where we could only travel to the neighbourhood municipally on foot and bike. I've lost where we're up to. We are in a level 3 because I put the postcode in and found out. The only difference between a level 3 and a level 4 from what I can see is that non-essential shops are shut in a 4. So there doesn't seem to be that much difference. So why the Southerners...
Good girl.
Are in a complete panic. I don't know. See, this is London for you. They weren't in any tier at all, were they?
No.
And then they end up infested, which isn't a total surprise. But the fact that they're all abandoning London and liberally spreading their germs across the rest of the country, I don't know why they put them. When they put them into tiers, why give people warning? It makes it worse. Come on, high five.
So you can get back from wherever you are.
But that's not what's happened. What's happened is half of London...
Yeah, they're all trying to escape.
Yep.
Do
you know...
The Great Escape.
It would be funny if it weren't so tragic, because people would die because of this. people who were in another, you know, a tier one, a tier two, they'll be infested by these people from London.
Infested or infected? Or both?
Well, let's say infected.
I think you were right first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually.
And it, you know, you could have just stayed there. And I said when you were out, it's not the particular place in the country that is infected. It's the people. So if they leave, the place is fine. We should all go down to London for Christmas. You've seen Jonathan? Does one need to be high during your training?
No, I thought that was... Was that Jonathan?
That's Jonathan, just above Sarah.
I thought it was Sarah. Oh, yeah.
It helps you get through it, Jonathan. Because training in person can be a nightmare. Because there's things like... You'll tell somebody how to do something and you're not supposed to touch the mouse. You're supposed to let them do it, aren't you? So I put my hands behind my back. It's agonising trying to say, no, to the left, up a bit. Yeah, a bit more. Yeah, that the green one, that one there. Oh, it is. It's agonising. It's actually quite a stressful job, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you are exhausted. And you do just want to reach over and say, there, that one. But you can't.
There was one point about, how long have I been training? About 30 years?
Yep.
There was one point about 20, 25 years ago, I seriously considered giving up training and actually going to do the building of the data east databases.
We've all had days where you go in and sometimes, you know, at the beginning of the day, it's not going to be good. That there's some dynamic at play. And you can't predict it. You know, sometimes you go and you think, oh, this one will be fine. Like, if you're going into a company and it's, you know, it's a good, happy place, then you think it would be fine. I remember going into one and it was a call centre type place. And they hated being there. Without exception, it had the worst vibe of anywhere I'd ever been for work. And they just got up and walked out the training. Oh, I need a cigarette. And off they went. It was bad. You can't tell them that they can't. You know, it's not school. But it was just a really bad place to go. Another one that I went to was the one near the phone box in Macclesfield. I think it was an insurance company.
London Insurance?
No, it wasn't London Insurance, but I think it was an insurance company. Some description. And it was these guys, but they were supposed to have put six on the course in the room. That would have held six people plus me. I get there. Oh, we've decided to put some more on. 12. We couldn't breathe. The room just got hotter and hotter throughout the day. And they were completely unruly. And instead of, like, most people try and shout them down, wouldn't they? Mm. I just shut up. So if you literally sit there at the front, you're totally quiet. You know, after a couple of minutes, yank, 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 yank. Oh, she's not saying anything anymore. Hang on, what's going on? I said, have you quite finished? And when you treat them like little boys, they all came into line. Another one I had trouble with, shutting them up, they were all from the police. And as if that wasn't bad enough, Greater Manchester Police, they were on the detective side of things. And they needed to use Microsoft Project and they were using it for like the timeline of a crime. And they had their own little agenda going on with themselves. So again, I shut up and let them talk and talk and talk. I said, right. Shall we get back to what we were doing now? And you do have to have that tone with you.
I'll tell you a story about the police. As some of you know, I spent 2 years at Merseyside Police, IT training. And at the beginning of the training sessions, we used to play a video. It was a two-minute video. And it was the chief constable, Hogan Howe, talking about why they brought this new system in, because it was force wide, and some of the coppers hated him and they used to turn their backs on this video.
It is the vibe, isn't it? You get caught up in the office politics of it all. I remember once I was in a company and my contact there absolutely loved me, and it was because I was working freelance through another company. So their training company was not me directly, right? So they were paying enough for me and for this intermediate company to take a cut out of it, because they had to make their money somehow. So this particular day, it was all booked, and I would never go to somebody direct. Because it's stupid for me to do that. I mean, yes, it might make financial sense straight away, but, you know, you then get a reputation for cutting out the middleman, and the middleman is, you know, you lose access to their clients. So I would never do that, never went direct. But this particular day, I appeared, and it was really quiet. And the contact dashed in, and she said, "We've got a crisis. They would get their work by filling in tenders for it, putting a bid together for something. And one came in and it had to be completed by the end of the day, and they hadn't even started it because they were supposed to get 3 weeks' notice and they didn't." So she said, but obviously she then had the people who were supposed to be on the course doing other jobs, and she was still going to have to pay for the training because, you know, I was sat there and the agency between them and me wanted paying. So she said, and this happens a lot, doesn't it, Mike? Can I put other people on the course? I said, you can put who you like on the course. So she said, but I'll still need you back because I still need these other people training. And it was a PowerPoint course.
Mm.
So she was struggling. It was basically like, we've got the cleaner. Can the cleaner come in on this course? And I said, do the people that you're thinking of sending to me today, do they need training in this? She said, no. She said, but we're paying for it. So I said, well, I'll tell you what. How about we just write it off and I will come back and I will train them another day? And she said, what do you mean write it off? You know, the company that you're working, you know, the company we're going through isn't going to go for that. They'll want paying twice, the agency. And I said, well, I won't tell them if you won't. And I've already been paid. And she said, you have? I said, oh, yeah. Now, that was really weird because I insisted on being paid up front. Everybody else gave people 30 days credit and you never saw any money. So my rules were, if you want me, that's fine. I'll book you a day. It will be guaranteed to be yours, but you pay me up front. So they had already paid me up front, the agency. I said, I've been paid. You've paid them. I said, what's the problem? I'll just come back a week on Tuesday and do it. So I did. As luck would have it, as far as they were concerned, the agency went bust. So she contacted me directly and she said, I know you would never cut the agency out, but they've gone bust. So can you be our training company now, please? Well, about 2 months later, I happened to be in reception and I was talking to this lady and I made a comment. And I said, oh, I love coming here. You know, it's a wonderful atmosphere. You've got a great vibe going on in the company. And her face changed and I thought, what have I said? Because, you know, that's quite a nice thing to say. What's the problem? And it turned out there'd been some nastiness going on there. So I'd seen the best of it. And just as I'd said that, her boss had walked past. So she was really pleased that without prompting, her boss had heard that her side of the business was fine. So in this like political struggle between these two factions, hers was okay. That's why I stopped going out to companies, isn't it? I can't be doing with it. I really can't. Right, I'm going to catch up here now. Oh, the good thing for Tracy is she can go Christmas shopping in the nearby town and support the businesses. Around here, there are so many businesses struggling. But I think it's because people don't particularly want to go out full stop and therefore they're shopping at Tesco's and Asda and the little shops not doing well. 10 years already. What was the 10 years already? Remind me, Jonathan. Brainless Barcelona dwellers who were either ignoring or belligerent about mask wearing. Can't legally overrun us at this Christmas. Do you know, I cannot understand this mask wearing business. It's like courtesy. It's like that's why I wear clothes, so you don't have to suffer the sight of me without clothes. So I put a mask on so you feel comfortable. Do you remember that woman at church? Just before we went into lockdown, we had to go to another church. Wasn't it the 1st of March?
Yeah.
It was to give some checks out. And he was really good, Father Stephen, keeping you in the loop about you don't have to shake hands if you don't want. What you can do instead. And he gave you some alternatives. He was the same with the host and the wine. So much as he is not liked locally, I think he's a lovely guy. As a priest, he gave me what I needed that day, which was, give me some alternatives because I'm not comfortable shaking hands. So this lady behind, as it came to the peace be with you moment, we turned round and she looked at us with eyes like saucers and we just bowed our heads to each other. Oh, touching. Again, it's common courtesy. So in that situation, if it was like now, I mean, masks weren't a thing at the time, but yeah, I would definitely wear a mask. I mean, that thing we saw on Mass last night was like, I'm not going back there. And that's my church. I am not going back there. Because what would happen is, if you turned up and you decided not to take Eucharist, which is what I would be thinking about doing, you'd be judged for that. Oh, they turned up, but they're not taking Eucharist, you see. No point in them being here, really. Because we're limited to 50% capacity. So they would say to themselves, why should you have a seat at Mass, taking that off somebody else who maybe would take Eucharist? So then it becomes political and just decide, you know what, we just won't go. But then that doesn't work for the church, does it? Because then the collection is light. I wonder if they're still... Well, they must still be doing the collection, which is criminal. You pass a basket around. Can you imagine that? Passing the basket from person to person? They must still be doing it because they've still got people counting the money. Yeah, I'll just leave that thought with you as we run for the hills. Right. I'm up to Jonathan, who's finding it quite sad to hear on the news people saying it's the only time of year I see my family. You only see your family once a year. I agree, Jonathan. It does seem, I mean, you know, it's like you're not making much effort any the rest of the time. I'm with Anthony. Let's just seal off the South. You see, the South were lording it over us. So they're all crying into their beer. We're in a tier four. We've been in the highest tier since March. And I didn't hear you sending any sympathy our way. So now you've got a problem. I'm not bothered. Oh, they're going to do checks, police checks. We have actually, Tracy, not far from here, along the Welsh border, got Welsh police, and they're not letting anybody in. And we've got the same at Scotland. The English ones aren't bothered because nobody wants to come here anyway. We talked, I think it was Paul, when we were talking about people flying into Australia. We haven't had to close the airports. Nobody's allowing anybody to fly here anyway. So we've already heard, I think it's 6 countries that they're not allowed to fly to the UK. Or if you do, you're on your own. You're not going to be allowed back in. I think it's Holland, Denmark, France,
Italy,
Ireland, Italy, and somewhere else. Yeah. I'm assuming Spain, they're probably leaving it on account of the fact that there are actually quite a few people with holiday homes there. But at some point it's got to kick in, surely. Jonathan says he knows he's lucky to have a strong family dynamic. If you have one that's strong enough to want to see them on the biggest day, surely you should see them more often. I agree, Jonathan. You know, even when I was at university, I was at London for 3 years and Oxford for over 18 months, which is the other end of the country. I would always come back and see my grandmother. I mean, she did have a phone, but, you know, it was pre-Zoom, so she couldn't actually see you. And she was very much of a generation that, you know, a phone call was one thing, but seeing you was something else. So you made the effort. Even when I was back for like a day and a half, it'd be like, and I'll just nip up to see Gran. We had even then a small family. Family-wise now, there's just your mother and your brother. But for me, there's nobody. Nobody at all. So it was a small family then anyway. But I would make the effort more than just at Christmas. It could be the distance, but I think in the country, this isn't that big a country, is it? And it might be wise, particularly this year, you know, maybe you should have met up in the summer when you could, instead of thinking that the most important thing was heading off to Greece for 2 weeks. You could have made an effort to maybe have a week's holiday and then see your family, because we could all see this second wave coming. They were telling us for long enough, and I know we're kind of in the third one now, but I think we knew that there was a jeopardy around Christmas. And, you know, I admire the people who have decided on what he said yesterday, okay, then we won't meet up. Because I'm thinking, you know, if you know you haven't got it, like we're talking with Mrs. Simon about people having tests, gratuitous tests, so they can go meet Granny. Some of those tests give false positives and false negatives. So really it's your behaviour that's going to dictate whether you should or not. But what I think I would have done was self-isolate for 14 days. And then you can form a bubble because you've self-isolated. I think that would get round it. But That's what I think was bad with Boris. He left it until it was too late for that. So it's too late for people to start doing that now for Christmas. It's bad. Love that answer. I've had days I just want to buy a boarding kennel and spend my days with dogs. That would suit me down to the ground. It absolutely would. I totally agree with Kim. Dogs are so fabulous. They really are. In fact, you know, there's so many animals that are amazing. Like that cat that took its kitten. It walked 3 miles to drop its kitten in at A&E. How did it even know? And they saved it. Oh, it's amazing.
Can you explain the Boxing Day holiday to Kim?
Boxing Day is St. Stephen's Day. And it's traditionally the day you eat the leftovers. I think it's called Boxing Day because didn't people leave some presents till Boxing Day?
I think so, yeah.
I think that was the history of it being called Boxing Day. But it's actually St. Stephen's Day. And it's just the day after Christmas. There's a mass on. There's always a mass on that you're expected to go to. I can honestly say in my entire life, I have never made a Boxing Day mass. No. Usually exhausted after Christmas. But some presents were kept back, I think. Hence the box, gift box. I believe that's the history of it. It's not a huge day. I think it's really just treated as like the day after Christmas. And you kind of veg out in front of the TV. In the days before being able to record the TV, they used to keep back some of the better programmes for Boxing Day, knowing that people were probably with family on Christmas Day. So Boxing Day is traditionally a bit of a lazy day. It's you don't bother cooking because you eat the leftovers. You may have extra gifts that you've kept back, but basically just sit down and rest. Recover after Christmas, usually. Poor Mrs. Simon. These Londoners could be heading to their holiday homes. I hadn't thought of holiday homes because they're not supposed to, are they? Oh, no, definitely not. I think they should have gone as soon as he said yesterday, because there was one thing that struck me about yesterday. Did you notice there was no leak? Every other time he's got on his hind legs, yeah. We've known exactly what he was going to say. So I must admit yesterday when he said Boris is speaking, I thought, oh, whatever. It won't be anything important, because if it was, we'd know about it by now. And then when it was, I was like, well, did he not tell anybody? Because the leaks are coming from their own party. And clearly he didn't. So that came as a bit of a surprise, that. I love that, Jonathan. It's when you've had enough of seeing all the present boxes lying around the house. Ah, that's the history of it. So, yes, a present in the UK. You may hear it called a Christmas box. And a Christmas box is like a colloquial term for a present, a Christmas gift. So, hence Boxing Day. It is to do with presents. Ah, so does this mean that Mike gets a holiday on Boxing Day from looking after me? He's now reading the chat. Mrs. Simon said it's a traditional day for servants to have a day off.
Am I a servant?
No, I don't think so. But everybody else thinks that you look after me like that.
Right.
And all those people at the train station, all tourists. Oh, I think it's ridiculous that you talk about leaving the abandoning ship. Unbelievable. Furloughed all the chauffeurs. I just can't fathom where they're going. I mean, if they've got a second home, fine. If they're going to stay with relatives, fine. But like I said, for how long? Because once you're out, you can't go back in. So where are they all going? Are some staying in hotels? It made zero sense. Plus the fact, to get out of the place, you're going through stations where they're absolutely rushed off their feet. And you're risking, if you're not already infected, you're risking infecting yourself by mingling with other people in a not socially distant way. These people want locking up. Literally, locking up. I think they should read the book that I've read, that Jonathan's reading. Because in there, they had the army on the streets. I mean, the scenario was exactly what we're in now. But the book itself is quite strange, I thought, because there was no mention of how people were reacting. So the book is saying, like, you know, and he's driving along this street and it's totally quiet. There's nobody out. And the army's on the streets. But it's very eerily quiet on, well, what how are people reacting to being in lockdown? There was nothing about that. I foresee, Jonathan, we'll have another book from that guy. After having lived through this, he'll think, I was spot on in terms of people not going out. Not quite so spot on with people's reactions. I think he could definitely get another story out of that. I've forgotten who the author was. Who's the author, Jonathan? Let's see if I can find it. Peter May. That's right, Peter May. I wonder if he is, because he's got quite a few crime books, hasn't he? And ultimately, that is a crime book.
Adam's on his way.
Oh, is he? It's not Wendy.
It's not Wendy.
No, it's not Wendy.
No, Wendy's a different company.
She is. She is. Yeah, I've got quite a few of his other books. I didn't read Lockdown. I listened to it. But Lockdown currently is 99 pence if you're interested. The ones I've got, he did a trilogy called the Lewis Trilogy. And I've got that one. He also had the China thrillers. Have you read those? I've got quite a few of those. I've got some in books, but I've got a lot of them as audiobooks. You know me and me audiobooks. I'm listening to the Irish ones at the moment. Joe Spain. They're very good. I like those. Like those a lot. That's one I'm listening to at the moment. But I managed to sneak that one in as soon as it came out because I was so desperately waiting for it to come out. The book came out first and it was virtually self-published, I think. But the audiobook took a bit longer because once they realised there was a pandemic and, you know, people would probably buy this book, it was a rush job to get the audiobook done. I think the audiobook was about 10 hours, something like that. Let's have a look. 15th of May it came out, the audiobook. Doesn't actually say. Let's go to my library and have a look how long it is. Oh, I've got a milestone coming up in my library as well. Let's have a look. How long are you? You don't say how long you are. 8 hours 56. There you go. It's nearly 9 hours. But it was a good one. It was a good one. They have found cases of the new strain in Scotland and Wales already. Impossible to keep it contained. That's why he should have said, you know, this strain's come out. At the moment, it's predominantly in the south. We're locking the south down. You can't move.
How does a strain get created?
It mutates inside people. Mm. But this, they're saying, it's not changed in terms of that it wouldn't be affected by the vaccine, that it's changed in terms of how quickly it spreads. But it must have mutated in some kind of way for that to happen, mustn't it?
Mm.
Something must have changed within it. So you don't know if this vaccine is going to be effective. You put those away. Or if it is effective? Or how it's changed? But apparently you can catch it easier. I wonder if he's going to do something about cars needing an MOT, because mine doesn't. And when at the beginning, you got a 6-month holiday, and I could do with a 6-month holiday now. Otherwise, I won't have to go out or sawn the car. I'm seriously contemplating sawning it, Mike.
Hmm.
A SORN is a certified off-road notification, which means you're not driving your car, for which it does not need an MOT.
I should have done that 6 months ago, shouldn't I?
Not really. You might need to keep your SORN because your MOT is valid at the moment, but you can only SORN for 6 months, I think.
Ah.
So you keep it till the last minute, trust me. You also then don't have to pay your road tax. So I might need to SORN it. We'll have to see how that's going because I don't want to go out. Jonathan wants another book. I don't think I'd enjoy another book. I like the characters. And he's a good writer. And I think definitely this will have given him... he was fairly accurate with bits of it, but I don't think he captured how stupid people are. I don't think any of us could have predicted that, could we? It's been a revelation how stupid people are. I mean, I can't understand leaving your own home just because it's bad in the south. I've been bad in the north for months, not seeing us pack up and head off to Outer Hebrides or anything. What's the point? Right. Not entirely sure about the effectiveness of the current vaccine. That's exactly my concern with it. You could end up, if you were one of the first ones taking this vaccine, and then it mutates, and then there's a slightly different vaccine, can you imagine how many vaccines you will have taken? And then the thing is, okay, vaccine number one worked against strain number one, and vaccine number two works against strain number two. And then there's vaccine number three for strain number three. Fine, that's absolutely fine. Has anybody checked the reaction if you take all three? Because you could be a person that is at the stage of like, okay, so now you need a two and now you need a three. And you're mingling these vaccines like crazy. We're all going to end up mutants with three heads, you know. You heard it here first. Oh, I think it could happen. I think that I was hoping by now, particularly after the lockdown, that the death rate would ease off. But it's actually worse now than it was during the second national lockdown. Over the weekend, we've had deaths in the 400s and 500s, which usually you don't. Because it's the weekend, they can't report them. So judging by what we've had at the weekend, Monday and Tuesday are going to be a nightmare. You could be seeing the 800s again. Add into that this strain that's apparently, you know, mutinous. I think this weekend, for the first time in many, many, many weeks, I've thought, we're nowhere near the end of this. Literally nowhere near. We're all right for Maroon till next Christmas, aren't we? Because it's looking that way. I think Kim was right. Kim said 2023. And I think Kim was right. And I'm still wondering, how did the plague die out with no vaccines?
People stayed in.
Well, clearly people are more stupid now than they were then.
How did the plague end? I only had to type, how did they? Google's very clever.
It's what everybody's asking.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must be the most searched for phrase.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, Jonathan. I think I'll sawn it. There really isn't much point in me saying I'm already paying my insurance on it. But the thing with insurance does, I'm not going to drive this year, then you need certificates of your no claims bonus and all of that. And it got complicated the last time we moved. My no claims bonus was something like 25 years at the time. In fact, it's probably more. I've been driving since I was 17. So
the most popular theory of how the plague ended is through the implementation of quarantines. The uninfected would typically remain in their homes and only leave when it was necessary. This is sounding very young.
Do you know, if only that worked these days.
While those who could afford to do so would leave the more densely populated areas and live in greater isolation.
Oh, there's London. There's their logic for you, though. Yes, I've got 36 years no claims, but apparently you can only have a certificate for 10. I've never claimed, ever.
Improvements in personal hygiene are also thought to have begun to take place during the pandemic alongside the practice of cremations rather than burials due to the sheer number of bodies. A common myth suggests the plague's third epidemic was finally wiped out in London by the Great Fire of 1666. It's a good story, but sadly not true.
It's still scary though, isn't it? And you are having to think about things. You know, like sworn statements and car insurance certificates and stuff that you just never thought you'd need to be even thinking about. I mean, that would then, unless I can sworn it for over 6 months, that would mean I would need, it would change the date that the tax was due. It's all complicated. It's all too complicated. But I don't think we're going to be sorted by February, which is when it's due. So I really need my car MOTing at the end of January, which is not good news. And I'm probably about due another car on account of the fact I've had this one for 21 years already. And, you know, you might be able to get away with that in the States, but not with the weather we have here. It's a rust bucket by then. Mine's not done bad, considering. Mine's not bad. Oh, we're now talking about Porton Down. I thought it was very interesting that Porton Down had their hands on the tests that people had done and given anyway. I don't think we were aware that Porton Down were involved until they found this strain. They come clean about it and then the whole world says, well, we're not having people from your country joining us, despite the fact it's in other countries already. if we're back to square one with the virus, this will just go on and on and on, wouldn't it? And I don't think it's our fault that it's mutated. And it is rather strange that it mutated in London, because they have fewer cases anyway. And if they're saying like it's more easily caught, how did they work that out from a result? They could see that it's maybe physically different, but how do they work out that that difference means it's more easily caught? It is very strange. It is very, very strange. Some days Kim could use another head. Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea, is it? My board is my second head now. All my little notes are on my board. And then I've decided, right, what I should do. Let me know if you do this, Jonathan. The stuff that's on my board needs to be put somewhere else. And then I clean the board every night. That's the plan anyway. But my board is working particularly well, as are my board markers. So at least I'm organised with that. That is my second head at the moment. It's mutating slowly in the States. Do you have people going from one location to another, though? Doing stupid things like, oh, the vaccine thing, the virus figures are bad in that area. Well, let's move to another area and make them bad there as well. Because clearly we do. And I know it's a bit of a lemming situation, but honestly, I don't know why people are doing it. I do love the board, Jonathan. Yes, just imagine what we could do with a board in terms of getting them out by sound. Not making any promises. Is there anything? There's nothing orange on my board at the moment. I've got some blue things on my board. And obviously it's a short week for us as well, because we've not got a full 7 days to prep for after hours. So we've got to make final decision on what we're doing in after hours. And of course, I'm still installing software. I found another one that's missing. And that impacts my ability to publish anything, which is why the RSS feed hasn't been updated with your show yet, Jonathan. But it will be, because I finally installed it. I was a bit peeved because I'd installed it on the old one. Unfortunately, what happened the day we were switching computers, a new version came out and I wanted to test it, but I hadn't actually got it installed. So I installed it on the old one, which transferred all the data. So that was fine. And I've gone back to it today and thought, right, let's get this sorted out, to find out the trial was only 14 days and it's over. So I thought, you know what, just buy it. Just buy it. And the thing is, the reason that I wanted to test it first, this is the one that's insisting I move my stuff from Dropbox to iCloud, which on no planet is a wise thing to do. So I thought, I'll get in touch with a developer. And then I thought, can you really be bothered getting in touch with a developer? And I came to the conclusion, no, just do the iCloud thing and be done. And if it doesn't work, then I'll plan B it. So I've virtually sorted with that. I have literally just, I've got two shows ready to publish in the next half hour. Testing the system. So your feed will update bizarrely. I'm working backwards and hoping to meet in the middle at some point. The rationale for that is it'll take less time to get to your show than it would if I went the other way. So it's all chaotic, but just keep updating the feed. And it will get there in the end. Fingers crossed. So I'm going to try that later. I can't actually. This is your perfect storm, isn't it? I can't even publish anything at the moment because one of our hosting companies decided they were upgrading us. Massive air quotes. When they did, they nuked all the FTP accounts. So when I came to publish MacBytes, I said, this isn't working. And then Mike went, oh. And we now need to recreate like 90 to 100 FTP accounts. So that's going to take us a little bit of time as well. So and what that means on the new machine is you have to put the credentials in for the FTP client. One, I haven't got the FTP client installed. And two, even if I did, it would do me no good because we need to recreate the FTP account. So that's our entire holiday taken care of, I do believe. But we'll get there in the end. We will. We will get there in the end. So it's going to be a fun week on Marooned, given it's a short week and we've got things coming up on Christmas Eve. Are you planning on joining us on Christmas Eve, Jonathan? And if you are, let's give yourself a percentage chance now. What is the percentage chance that you'll make it to the end of the show? We need to know that now, don't we, Mike?
Mm.
Mm. You know, because, you know, we've been doing the advent calendar and stuff. Well, obviously, you know, the 24th is like the big reveal, isn't it? And it might be happening. You know, couldn't say anything for definite. Might be happening during after hours. So you really do need Christmas Eve. Oh, good. He says, of course I am. I wouldn't miss it for the world. You might need a little nap in the afternoon then, Jonathan. We are going to insist you make it to the end of the show that night. What we'll do is I will do the A-Lady thing and play the 1812 to wake you up. So make sure you're sat somewhere near the A-Lady so she can hear me. And in the event that you nod off, we'll use the A-Lady to wake you up. There you go. Kim loves the advent calendar. Good, good. Glad you like it. What was today? Oh, drafts. Drafts. Yes, because I've been asked for drafts quite a lot. And the reason I haven't demoed it is it's an app that I actually use and it's back-ended onto iCloud. So when it's working, leave it alone. So all my data's in it and I'm not sure what you can do in terms of getting your data out of it in terms of doing a demo. I wish every application was as savvy as 1Password. If you intend to demo 1Password, you click a button and it takes away your data and gives you some dummy data to use. And then when you've done your demo, you go back and you click the button again. Oh, if only every app would do that, it would be amazing. I guess with 1Password, they realise that they're getting sales by people demoing it. And the easier they make it for people to demo, the better. But other applications don't make that a priority. But trust me, drafts, if you made it a priority, my life would be a whole lot easier. The other way to do it would be to log out on a machine, which may or may not work. I will find a way to include that in Productivity January. Do I use day one? I do, Jonathan. I do. I've been using day one. I can tell you the exact day I started using that. February 2012. And it was the day we took Maya to the vet when he needed his liver thing. And I'm thinking I need to start journaling. I was so, I mean, that it was the only time I've ever been without my boy. So we sat outside the vet's about 20, 30 yards away from where he was all day in the pouring rain. 13 hours we were sat there. So I had lots of time to journal. And I journaled on my 10, 11, 12, iPad Cyril. I had my iPad Cyril with me and I installed it on there. And I've kept it going ever since. Absolutely. Jonathan says, depending on whether others use it, you'd be very interested in a session and getting everything out of day one and building your own journal and publisher with the content images included. I think it does do an export, doesn't it, in PDF format, I believe. But that's going to get more difficult because as the app's developed, it takes more things in now. It links in with your photos. It links in with your calendar. It's getting weather data, all kinds of clever stuff. I've never tried doing the exporty thing. But I will. There you go. I will. I will have a look at that in my I'm not going to say the holiday is laughable, but in terms of what we need to do in the time we've got, that's laughable, isn't it, Mike?
Oh, very.
If we had another 6 months holiday, we might get half of it done. Let's just say that. Could you not persuade your boss, you know, that your mental health, there we go, your mental health needs another 2 months off. We'll try it. There you go. It does one in PDF, but you'd like to control it better than the export. Okay. It doesn't even do A4. Are you kidding me? I know I've never looked at the export, but really? Right, what can I do here? Day one, file, export, PDF. Download the media, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm going to proceed anyway. Don't download anything. I don't need any more grief. Good grief. It's only got three output options. Are they absolutely mental? 8.5 by 11, 5.5 by 8.5, and 8.3 by 11.7. 3.3 inches in centimetres. Right, what's that? Hang on a minute, Jonathan. Are you sure the third option, the 11 inches? 11 inches. I think you'll find the third option's A4. There's a challenge match, Jonathan. The third option, which is 8.3 by 11.7, is A4. What you need to do is convert the 8.3 and the 11.7 into centimetres or millimetres. And it's 213 by 297 in millimetres. So the third option is A4, or as near A4 as would make any difference. Damn these imperial measurements. I know, I had to Google it too. I knew 8 point something, but yeah, the bottom one is A4. Why put it in inches when the machine's set to UK and everything else uses millimetres and centimetres? That makes absolutely no sense. But yeah, the third one's A4. But even then, you know, that's not the granularity you're looking for, is it? So we'll have a look at it. There you go. We will have a look at it together with drafts. I'm thinking now I could actually do things because of all the messing we've had switching machines and me doing that affinity demo where I was using two machines. There is potentially a way to demonstrate that. I won't go any more than potentially a way to demonstrate it. I shall have a word with Mike because it involves plumbing. And when it involves plumbing, it's tricky. But I will. So we've got a busy week getting ready for Thursday when really we were losing a day. It's like when you lose an hour, only we're losing an entire day. But I can guarantee Thursday night will be entertaining and we'll see how much other stuff we can get done in the meanwhile. You all give us the stupid measurements and we can't seem to find our way out of them. I know. I mean, you've got A pages, B pages. You use letter size pages in the States. Then they're measured in inches and or centimetres and or millimetres. It's a wonder anybody ever prints anything. Luckily, our printer doesn't want to print anything, so we'll leave it be. Just leave it on its own. We're going to have to look at a printer at some point. But the longer we can put that off, the better. It would be faster to buy some tablets of stone and a chisel. We just have no luck with printers. And I don't think it's just us. I think printers are just evil. Printers are evil. The one at the church is fabulous, but, you know, like I said, it's bigger than our bathroom. So we'd need an extension, another one, to put the printer in. And I think theirs is leased. They probably pay more for that per month than I want to pay for my iMac. So while it's utterly amazing, I'm not investing in something like that. No way. Don't print enough to warrant it. Right, well, we'll head off and plot and plan the rest of the week and see how much we can get done ready for Thursday. But Jonathan, pro tip, nap Thursday afternoon. Put it on your calendar now. Put on it, very important nap. Otherwise you might miss things, and you would not want to miss things. Not on the Christmas Eve one. Not on Twas the Night Before Christmas. Definitely not. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.